Okay, so welcome to part two of the Orient Hour special, talking to the 2005-2006 promotion squad. But in the penultimate game, we played Peterborough, and Lockie, you put us 1-0 up with a penalty after 15 minutes. Unfortunately then, Paul Connor, however, tangled with the Peterborough defender and got sent off for violent conduct on 21 minutes. Matt, what's going through the players' heads at that point?
I think my personal opinion, you thought, oh no, you get so close being that, you know, like this, say, and then Cons get sent off and you think, oh, this is going to go wrong again. We're going to get in the playoffs. And but the way we responded, the way we rallied round, and the way everyone just worked their socks off, I don't think you'd have noticed that we were a man down. You know, if someone had been to the toilet and not seen that, it wouldn't have come back and be like, hold up, you know, Peterborough absolutely battering us. We were running our socks off. And the thing is, we were fit. We had some real good runners in the team. Obviously, Eastie in the middle of the park there was just an absolute sort of machine. We deserved the win. We just, for me, that was the game. I mean, I agree that Mansfield was the one, the real pressure game that we had to go and win away from home. But this was the one that, really set us up for that finale. That was the biggest game, I think. That was the toughest one. And I was so proud that we won that one.
When you go in the dressing room at halftime, did Paul Connor say anything? Did anyone say anything to him?
No was idea.
I just remember Cons being absolutely devastated. Yeah, he was absolutely gutted there. And then obviously he missed the next game.
Yeah,
and
his hand sort of
done it. He was gutted, man, because he knew he was going to miss the thing. He couldn't even be involved in it. So I remember that day, he looked a nervous man at Oxford. He was like, because I mean, that's the worst position you can be in. You can't affect it. You can't help your mates. And I remember looking at him, and I was feeling nervous. I never used to get that nervous. Being nervous is good. I like to be a bit of butterflies before the game. But I remember I was sharing a room with Wayne Cordon in the hotel before Oxford. And I honestly never slept. Never slept. And I've never felt that, because I think I never really achieved anything in my career. Like, never won anything. Didn't get up, you know, I'd been in a cup final, we get pumped. When I was at Dundee United, it was a non-event. Never really won anything since like you were a kid, and I thought, well, you might never win anything again. This is a chance, and you know, get promotion. And I don't know, maybe that was why I was building up so much. But as soon as the game started, it was fine. But I remember that day, and then I looked at Cons and I thought, he looks worse than me, so I'll be all right, you know.
Yes, sir. Well, we will go into the Oxford game, I promise. We're nearly there. Joe, just coming across to you for a second. When you go in at half-time, 1-0 up, but a man down, were you aware of any of the other games going on? So were you aware at that point that Grimsby were drawing with Macclesfield? Or did that not come up at all?
I mean, at that time, someone would have always been aware of what was going on and would have probably told someone, and it might have got about. But you just know you've got to go and do your job in the second half, and that's all that matters, really. And that's where your concentration lies with. You can't let distractions get to you. You've just got to go and win a game of football.
And we did just that. Wayne Cordon put us up with a superb drive, and then Peterborough put one back with 5 minutes to go. But we hung on for a 2-1 win, and Grimsby drawing meant we were back in the automatic places. What did you feel like, John, when you went back into the dressing room after the game? We've won the game. You know, Grimsby have drawn their game. We're in the automatic promotion places. We've one game to go. We've just got to do our job. How does that feel?
Well, I think you just said it. We've got to do our job for the last game, and that it was back in our hands. So that's all we could have hoped for going into the last game of the season. So back in our hands, and we just had to do, like you say, our job.
We get to the Oxford game. So, Matt, coming across to you, what was it like in the dressing room before the game?
So I think it obviously there was a lot of nerves. There was a lot of excitement, because you knew the good thing with it was everything was in our hands. We knew whatever we did that day, you know, we were we sort of held the key to promotion, and all we had to do was match, you know, the other results. But we knew if we won the game, we were up. That's it. Simple as. And Oxford were down the bottom of the league, so it was a massive game for both teams. You know, we win, we go up. They lose, they go down. Obviously, they had to win to stay up. So it was just the biggest game of the career, of the, our career, of that season, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, obviously having, you know, 4,500 or however many Orient fans it was in that stand that day. Again, it felt like a home game. You know, you're so noisy all game. But I think just the focus and, you know, because we all sort of approach the games in different ways. You know, John would go around, you know, headbutting walls. I'd be sitting there quite chilled out. You know, we all had our own pre-match routine to get ourselves up for the game. But, you know, the gaffer didn't need to say anything. You know, Lingy and Smudge didn't need to say a word. It was a case of, look, this is the game plan. This is what we're going to do. Yeah, down to you boys. And as soon as we went over that white line, you know, it was sort of business as normal for us.
John, coming across to you there, is it difficult in the week leading up to a game like that? Obviously, you're training all week. Is it difficult to sort of, you worry about injuries? Do you worry about getting a muscle pull or anything? Or do you just go about it as normal and just, you know, you have to?
Yeah, I think personally the whole week was a normal week. We treated it as a normal game, nothing different. The only time it really hit me was turning into the ground and just seeing like a sea of, you know, Orient fans everywhere. And then that was like, oh shit, like we gotta do the business. There were so many there.
Craig, coming across to you, you mentioned before it was the biggest game of your career.
Yeah, well, I think it was. I mean, I was wanting to go in there and you know, achieve something, get promotion, and that's where I was treating it. It was like it was an opportunity to put something good on your CV, and to do it with this bunch of boys would have been the highlight. I mean, that was my first season out with Scotland, first club there in England, and I just enjoyed the whole season, and it was like, everything was building towards us, and I just wanted to finish it the way I thought we should have. And by the way, I was actually a wee bit disappointed we didn't win the league that season, because I felt we were good enough to. And I genuinely believe that. You know, the games that we maybe dropped points in, I felt that I didn't at the time, but looking back on it, I was going, baby, we should have probably won the league. You know, when we played against the top sides and we beat them or we went toe to toe with them. But on that game, like John says, it was. Just the crowd, the Orient fans travelling up there, my mum and dad being there again, and my wife and even her mum and dad coming down for the game. That's how big we were looking at it. And the lads were, like Matty says, everybody's got different things going on in their minds in the changing room. But John just, I think John takes the pressure off everybody because he just goes nuts. And, you know, I'm not just saying it on here, he's a brilliant skipper. And those rants 1 minute, 2 minutes before, you go out, just they just get you going, and they get you ready to run through brick walls. I'm not going to lie.
John, was it? Do you remember what you said? I mean, is it broadcastable or
no chance?
Just along the lines, make sure we do our jobs, and we'll be all right.
Was it a This Is Sparta moment, that sort of thing? Was it?
No, I think it's just like Craig says, trying to get the boys up for the game, knowing our jobs, what we've got to do. And just trying to sort of motivate everyone to just go and win the game of football.
And we made a good start to the game then. So we go into the game, we made a really good start to the game. And and Billy Turley was forced into saves from both Lee Steele and Joe from yourself as well. What do you remember about that strike?
I think it was a volley. I think Coles might have sent a deep cross and it just come over, just watched it. And to be honest, I think I was going for the far post and didn't quite catch it properly. And it ends up a comfortable save for him. But yeah, it just felt like a good... The funny thing about it was the build-up to that game is we stayed overnight, I think, considering it ain't that far. And we trained on the Friday in the worst park you've ever seen. So we've gone overnight to stay there, and I think we got stuck in traffic and turned up late, and that just summed us up as like as what we were as a team. But like, but again, it didn't faze us. And I can't speak highly enough of them rants by Mackie before we went out. They was so good. I wish they're the things I wish we had on camera. That it was for about the last half dozen games of the season. He just went into one. It was a thing of beauty to watch, I tell you.
Gary, you're nodding your head there. I'm assuming you remember him as well then.
I've seen it not long ago in my dressing rooms when he was meant like would be at Greenwich and that, like if he loses his head, you know. So it's quite nice to sit back and watch.
So unfortunately, you know, we made a strong start. We then go 1-0 down. Gary, does that change anything about the game plan at all? Or is it just a case of, no, this has happened, we dig in, we do what we've done all season?
I think, again, it's dig in, and it's credit to the squad we had that even if we did go behind, we still believe we can get something out of games, you know. And being the last day of the season, we had to give our all. And obviously the pressure's on them. They've got to try and hold out, haven't they? 1-0, trying to hold out. They've got a win to survive. So they're going to be going for a second, which will obviously open up spaces to give us an opportunity to get back in the game at times. And as Eastie said, with the players we had and the creativity we had out wide, and we was always going to create chances from crosses, or we was a danger from set pieces with Lockie's quality and Mackie attacking the ball, you know. Like, so we always had opportunities to get back in any game we played in, and the final game of the season, no different.
And you're absolutely right in so much that it did open up spaces. And Craig, it opened up one for you, and you scored the equaliser.
Yeah, it was a header. I think I scored about three headers that season. I wasn't the tallest, but I always white attacking the ball. And it was a ball from Wayne Corden, I think. And he's hung it up, and I've just attacked it. There's a bunch of bodies, and the keeper's actually, you know, he's not done too. He's not covered himself in glory at all. And it's kind of one of those that even crossed the line. And the referee's really, if you watch it, he knows right away, and he gives a goal. I thought the referee that day was excellent, to be honest. But and we'll come into that later probably with John. But
he was excellent.
He was talking to you all the time. And but no, listen, it was just, didn't matter who scored. I got the goal, and I remember running straight to the Orient fans, and I saw my mum, dad, and my wife, and them sitting, and I just was pointing straight at them, and it was brilliant. And actually, Simon, the photographer's got one of me looking right in his lens almost, and it's just, it was class. And like we said, you know, that was equaliser, kind of settled us down again, and we tried to try and take control of the game after that. It was a game that ebbed and flowed, and they're fighting for their lives, we're fighting for promotion, so it was wild.
And Gary, you put us 2-1 up with a smart chipped finish there. And how did that feel?
I think that was the day the dink was invented, wasn't it?
I think it might have been.
I hadn't seen many of them before, so I thought I might as well give it a go, and you know, just went through. I think Billy Turley come out, and I'm not sure, I probably tried to side foot bottom corner, but it's gone up in the air and lifted over him. But you know, it looks a good finish on video, so I'll take that one.
I think Andy Gilson described it as a cheeky finish. I think that was the word you used, Andy.
Yeah, the funny thing was, we were just saying, we were just beginning to look a little bit tired. And I think Gary knows, we sort of subtly or not so subtly said, well, maybe Gary might need to be replaced, you know, because he's getting knackered. But then he pops up and scores this. And it was a really good goal and a really good finish. And we thought that was the winning goal, actually, that would send us up. But, you know, because we'd outplayed them the whole match. And as the lads know, but for two set pieces, they were pretty never really at the races. But we just lost concentration on two set pieces that put us in the cart a little bit.
Just, Craig, sorry to cut you off, Andy. Just going back to something that you said, Craig, just now about the referee. When you scored that second goal, Gary, do you remember what the ref said to you? Because we all, obviously, all the Orient players were around celebrating the goal, and the referee comes running up to us, and John, you looked at him like you wanted to kill him. Craig, you had a conversation with him about something, and it looked along the lines of, bore off, ref, we've just scored. Do you remember what was said?
I don't remember. I think he's wanted us back there as quick as we could, and we're like, I'm like, that's cool, like, one of them, just stay here a minute, lads, because obviously we've scored, and we're trying to maybe even waste a wee bit of time. And I think he actually said, I think it was like, it was all right, but so I actually thought he was, he's been okay. And as I said, he maybe gave us a couple of wee decisions that went our way during the game with John's tangle coming together with people. So I don't know. John will maybe be able to elaborate on that.
John, do you want to talk us through?
What are we talking about?
The vicious assault, John.
Did they not get a man sent off? Was that not what happened?
Yeah.
He won't admit to that though, Eastie, what he done.
No,
to
I'm provoke. Not. Listen, you've got to do what you need to do. But what I was trying to say is the referee, I thought, was actually, he was pretty fair, he was good with it. And in a game like that, you need somebody that's not going to be like, you know, he understands the situation. I thought he was decent, to be fair, but I'm not going to say that. I don't really say that about many referees, but I thought he was. But listen, that type of game, we were all out. They were all out. You know, it was, you know, everyone's given everything they've got, and yeah, we probably did control it. But I think that the last part of the game, it was like the longest game you've seen. Like the game's usually condensed into like 40, 50 yards, and when you look in the video, it's like. When we scored our last goal, there's like the whole pitch has been used. It's crazy, and we end up playing in the midfield was an absolute nightmare. I'm not going to lie to you. It was just up and down, and the game was huge. And it eventually swung our way, but there was a wee bit of drama before that.
Yeah, John, what do you remember about the sending off? Because it seemed as though it was their centre half, wasn't it, that you tangled with? But the cameras don't quite catch what happened. And I must admit, I can't remember. Can you shed any more light on that? Was it?
It was just a free kick. Their free kick. We was in the box marking. He might have accidentally stepped on my toe, or I might have accidentally stepped on his toe. And then he raised his hand into my throat, and you know, it wasn't very nice.
Well, you know, Joe, I can see what? You falling around laughing now.
It's pathetic the way he's just trying to kid people now. He's done something really nasty. The geezer has retaliated, and Mackie's played a blinder.
Did you see it?
No, obviously. I ask you what really happened every time?
I saw it.
Matt, what did you see?
Well, first of all, John's nose is nearly taking my eye out with the lies he's just... But, it's just all part of the game. That's how John plays, you know. He gives him a secret stamp on the foot. The guy reacts. It's cool. You know, John goes down and then the guy gets sent off. That's how it works.
That's how you win games of football.
This is it. It doesn't matter how you win games, as long as you get that result. And, you know, if the guy was stupid enough to fall for it, then for him.
Listen, Sergio Ramos has won a World Cup and countless European trophies doing it. So I don't see why anyone else should have a problem with it, you know. So there you go.
John, is that the first time you've been compared to Sergio Ramos?
No, more than once.
Yeah, must be the
Barney.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's the hair, definitely. So we go in. You know, we Oxford equalises 2-2. At this point, we're pushing forward. But despite all our efforts, it doesn't seem as though it's going to go our way. Trevor, in the stands at this point, what's going through your mind?
What was going through my mind was just screaming to the lads, just leave everything out. I wish they were doing. Nobody knows what was going to happen in the last 13 seconds, but we were just giving it everything we had to spur them on, because they were giving everything back, of course.
Andy, obviously you were commentating on the game. Did you feel as though we were going to get back into it?
Well, we were level, and I think Jabbo went through, and it was a great chance, and he missed it. I think, and I can't remember whether it was lead to his right, and he could have squared it, but he took the tried to place it round the keeper, curled it round the keeper, and it was a tame effort in the end. And he was clean through. And that was the trouble sometimes with Jabbo. If he had too much time to think about it, you know, when he worked on instinct, he was a lot better than when he thought about it. But that looked like it was the only chance, and it had gone, I think. We all thought the match had gone then. And, of course, nobody knew, as Trev just said, the cheer suddenly went up, and the whole situation, as we said in the commentary, the whole situation changed in a second. You know, we went from not going up to being up before we scored, you know, and crazy, a crazy match.
And Gary, did you when Northampton did equalise, and obviously the cheer went up from the Orient faithful? Do you think that impacted upon Oxford, because it did seem as though they lost their concentration for a second?
Yeah, I think obviously we heard the cheers in the stand, and then I think as we said, the game was open because they needed to score as well to stay up, and as we spoke about earlier, the spaces started to appear, and I think Lockie put me away down the left, didn't he? Little pass down the left, and. Obviously, I had the whole field to run into. I've run down and Stilo was square, you know, so rolled it in and Stilo's got a tap in to guarantee it. But as I said, that little roar gave us an inkling that Northampton had scored, equalised, whatever, and that we was going up after that. And then obviously everyone just started celebrating with that goal.
What I'm going to do now, gents, if you don't mind, I'm going to try and share my screen and I'm going to try and show you the game. Can you all see that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sabin trying to lurk. Sabin's gone there! And it's a goal!
I think, John, you were having a go at the Garner there. Coming, wasn't it?
Probably.
He made the run. He wasn't picked up. And their first effort of the match sees Oxford take the lead. Cool. Room for a cross. Decent looking one, too. There's the header.
Oh, yeah, Chris, that's totally scored.
Yeah, it's definitely
the
line. It's definitely all going.
I don't think it was it?
So I think you're right there. They've worked very hard this afternoon.
It's Gary's goal, and it's a really good finish. This
a country mile, but I think the pitch quite heavy. It's taken its toll. But here's a chance, and that's a beautiful finish.
That's a good finish because he didn't have a lot of time there with a keeper coming out, and not a lot of space to get that round. Good finish.
And he hadn't scored since 2004 as well.
I know, that was his first goal in weeks, wasn't it?
One of my 185, Joe.
Oxford have a free kick now. These are nervous moments for Orient because...
Oh, this is crazy. It's their equaliser goal straight from the kickoff, really, wasn't it? It was within about 60 seconds.
It's not away in, it's an equaliser goal!
You see that Simo and Corden were organised there in that wall, weren't they, as well?
I love the way John starts having a go at the goalkeeper.
Yeah,
Oh dear. But that was the thing, though, Bill, with the game. They were both set pieces, you know, and they, apart from those two set pieces, they didn't really create that many chances.
Sometimes, there, John.
There's a booking coming up here. Oh, it's a red card for both players, I think. Oh, a yellow card. Well, a yellow card for Mackie. A red card for Wilmot. Now then.
Look at the state of me. Look at my face. He must have hurt me.
Down to 10 men.
Did you think he was going?
What more drama can we have here? But here come Oxford.
Well, you did.
Yeah.
No, totally.
Did you, John, did you honestly think you were going at that point when he got the red out straight away from there?
No, I knew I'd never done any. I knew that they'd not seen what had happened and that they'd seen him react. So I knew that I wasn't going. There's no way I was going.
I like the way he was just there. Thank you very much, ref. I'll get back in position now.
That's it. Job done.
Well, I think there's been a goal.
What's that? Crazy.
Orient needs to hold on here. Orient needs to hold on. The whole situation's changed. And it comes, a chance, it's a goal for Leighton Orient!
They've just got to hold on, that's what we were saying, just got to hold on here, and then there's a ball play through to Gary, and he's got options everywhere, and Oxford really all over
that's
the shot.
That's a great ball as well.
Great.
It's a double celebration!
That gets overlooked a lot, that ball, Gaz.
Left foot pass, great pass.
I'm not sure Stilo would have passed that to me, though.
I'm getting promoted!
Look at the subs.
But you saw the ball, like, there could have been about three people that put that in the net, you know, and Lockie's firing up the left-hand side as well. It was just end-to-end at that point. It was crazy. What you've got Lockie there, you've got Jabo, you've got Steele, and you've got Chuds at the back post, and it's Steele that sticks it away, and it's just mayhem after that. Absolute mayhem. Brilliant.
That's the final whistle! Leighton Orient are promoted in dramatic fashion. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. You couldn't have written a script for it.
How does that make you feel, watching that back like that? How does it make you feel?
Yeah, it's standing up the back of my neck, to be honest.
Yeah, it's unreal. As I said, that's it was the first promotion I'd won in my football career as well. And it's just, as I said, it's something that never go away. And the group of lads we had, it's, as Lockie said earlier, it's a special group. We're still in touch 15, 20 years on, you know, like from playing with each other, we're on a group, and I'm sure we will get to meet again someday all together and be able to have a drink and chat over it again out in a pub. But yeah, just an amazing group of lads and a real special special day that was.
Well, if you ever do want to come back and have a drink together, gents, obviously the Orient Supporters Club would be a perfect place to do it. And I'm sure that you'd be, you wouldn't have to buy a drink all night, I'm sure. Because I reckon there'd be a few people that would
be there.
He'd be down. He's been there every
week. Can he stay there, take the Scottish gate? Come on.
Laura's booking his
ticket. Season ticket. Yeah.
Nah.
He'd be at every game.
You better believe it. Jabba was tight on me. Come on, Jabba was tight on me.
Matt, when you watch that back, do you ever watch it back and think Gary should have knocked it to his left?
No, to be fair, right, I watched that whole game during lockdown, right, the first lockdown, and I couldn't believe how well we played. In the first half, we absolutely annihilated them. We should have scored probably 3 or 4 goals. Billy Turley was on fire. Obviously, the second half was a little bit more even, but you know, we are, you know, years on and still just watching that final goal. I don't know about you boys, but the hairs on the back of my neck stand up every time I see it. You know, I know, again, the biggest achievements in your career do stand out. And like John was saying, he hasn't got a clue about any of the games throughout that season, a goal here and there in your game. But, you know, that game, you just remember everything. And it was just brilliant. It was a feeling that the, you know, for me, obviously that eclipses the cup runs and anything, because that's a combination of 46 games of hard graft, of, you know, pre-season, like Joey was saying, you know, all those runs that we had to do to get fit, to get us all together. It was just brilliant, you know, and that night, and straight after the game, obviously all the celebrations that we had, obviously there's a story behind that, which John will probably elaborate on in a second. But it was just a fantastic day. And to do it in front of so many Orient fans, it was just brilliant. It was fantastic. And you know, those days are few and far between in your careers, and you just have to enjoy every minute of it.
Well, we've just been joined, better late than never, by Jabbo Ibere. Jabbo, can you hear us? How are you?
Yeah, hi, guys.
Matty Lockwood said he's going to find you, Jabs, for being late.
I tried to put up the volume. I'm surprised Lockie's not trying to find me for being late.
You look here.
Somewhere.
The invoice is in the post, mate.
Lockie, you'll never get it. He's probably stole you your money.
Jabbo, we've literally just sort of been talking about the Oxford game. You know, what do you remember about the Oxford game at all? I've just replayed the highlights to the lads in the group, and they said it, even to this day, it makes their hair stand up on end.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great day. So I remember we had to Oxford could go down as well, couldn't they? Had they lost in it, so it was kind of a big deal. And just the way we did it, it was such a good season after having the FA Cup run against Fulham, and it just ended the season in such a great way. It was fantastic, and to do it with Steely's goal, it was class, man. And I love the celebrations. I still look at some of the videos now. I remember running around with no top on, with the scarf, and looking like a little bug. But we had a great dressing room in it, and it was just fantastic. And it's amazing that so many years have passed on, but we all still banter, we all keep in touch, and it's really nice to be here with everyone today. Really good.
Well, like I say, thanks for joining us, Jabbo. We really appreciate it. Just on that, with regards to the finish, the finishing goal, everyone sort of saw Lee Steele going through, and there didn't seem to be, no one seemed to be nervous when that happened. I know there wasn't a lot of time, but we knew he was going to finish it. Does anyone know how many goals Lee Steele actually scored that season? Anyone want to hazard a guess?
I think he scored 4.
He did, yeah. 4 goals. Yeah. He only scored 4 goals that season. Yeah. And the fourth one being the 4 goals in the league, should I say. I think he scored 6 total. But But yeah, what a time to score that fourth goal.
I mean, come off the hour, come off the man, innit? One of them ones. But I mean, he took it really well. And we just felt, I think we started off quite well. Did we lock?
Did you have a chance, Jabbo? Did you have a chance just before that?
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah, but I think it was my ball over the top that led the attack. So
Job.
That one. There's a shock. I've been on a couple of minutes just to get attacked already. Jesus, nothing changes. Brilliant. To be fair, I thought Lee Steele was gonna, because he's gone in, and then I was to the left of him. And I was thinking, he could lay this off to me, and I've got a tap in. At the same time, I would have missed that.
There's no danger, Steele was going to lay that off.
Yeah, of course. Come on. We know that. That goal bonus, yeah. He's tighter than me, so don't worry about that. Brilliant. But yeah, like, nice to see everyone. I ain't seen Eastie in ages.
I know, mate.
You come for me slightly on Twitter, but I ain't seen you in a while, so it's nice to nice to see you. I see Gaz and John, they can just stay away and keep quiet for now, but yeah. Well, brilliant.
One time job, one time.
Thanks for having us, yeah. All right, Joe. All right, Joe Keefe.
All right, Jabs.
Yeah. How are you, man?
I'm good. Always good.
Good. And lots, I speak to you anyway, so there's no point of saying anything to you.
Andy, did you have any questions from the message board at all for the chaps?
I didn't, Bill, because I checked earlier and they were bordering on moronic, so I didn't bother.
Well, at least they're consistent then, I suppose.
I actually said to them, it was like the 5C of message boards, if you remember, please, sir. They were. It was like the worst class you could get. You know, there you go. Never mind. They let themselves down today.
Well, John, coming across to you then, obviously it was mentioned about the celebrations afterwards, so... talk us through what the players did afterwards.
I think they had to wait for me for about an hour, obviously, with the drug test after the game. Not being able to give a sample and having a row with the FA in the changing room. So I think they waited for ages, and then I didn't bother showering, to be honest. Just got on the coach with my kit on. And just started the songs, and that was the start of a long, long night.
I think it was a long 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days.
And what did someone mention earlier on that Eddie Hearn came out with you? Is that right?
Yeah, Eddie was there. Yeah, I think we ended up in we went back to, I think our cars were back at Waltham Abbey.
Waltham Abbey, yeah.
The Marriott, and then we got cabs, I think, to Faces.
Gary, you mentioned before that Barry Hearn gave you a little win bonus for the Fulham game. Did he do the same after Oxford, or was he a bit tighter then?
No, he took us to Vegas, didn't he? After that was our incentive to take us to Vegas. So, but Faces, now Jabbo's on. That was, I think it was the Oxford night. He left his missus outside Faces and got her a newspaper to read. So she was having a bad drink. I'm sure, he drove to Faces and left her parked up the road and run and got a metro.
What a great
run and got a metro and then came in. Came in. That was the night, Jab. You remember it well. Look,
I don't know what you're talking about. What a great woman! She took one for the team. Was it that?
Yeah, funny? No. Obviously, we ended up in Vegas, didn't we? After that, obviously, just was meant to be a pre-season, but it weren't much of a pre-season out there, to be honest.
Joey, what do you remember from Vegas? Or not a lot,
mate? I've still got hangover from the first night.
So I showed my mum a picture of you on a treadmill, and she went, "Were you not having a very good time out there?" I said, "He was pissed on the treadmill at 5 o'clock in the evening."
I got so carried away on that first night, and then on the first day, I should say, and then there was another night where I think I'd been awake for 24 hours or whatever, and tried to play around the golf with Lockie, and that was a waste of time. And then we had to go gym in the afternoon, and I just hid for an hour. I hid in the gym and then just passed out later that night. It was a tough 4 days. And then to go back into pre-season straight after was not ideal.
Shane Tudor actually fell asleep jogging on a treadmill. I fell off a treadmill. And see what happened, we all had to, we weren't allowed to drink during the day. We had to, we could go out as long as we wanted at night, as long as we were like, you know, we'd roll in about 6 o'clock, whatever it was, right? And then we wouldn't be able to, there was no day drinking meant to be anyway, because we had to be in the gym at what, 5, 6 o'clock or something like that. And then after that, it was a free for all. And I remember we kept coming into the gym, and every day it was getting worse and worse. And Chuds fell asleep while on a treadmill and fell off the back of it. And Lingy just went, lads, that'll do, he's off.
You know, remember, when we got there, Lingy gave us two rules. He said, you've got to be in the gym every night at 5 o'clock, do an hour session. The only other rule was don't get arrested.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And none of us did, so it was happy days.
Jabbo had the third rule, not to buy a drink, didn't he?
I think when the bills come out at the end of the holiday, wasn't it? Jabbo's like, Barry yelled the bills up, didn't he? Like what people had spent. And I'm not sure if Jabbo had got above the dollar.
I was
old enough to go to the clubs, but me and Gabs just done our own thing because we were too young. So, yeah, I don't know. Can't really remember. But,
yeah, because you were about to be 21. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So I think me and Gab just done our own thing and left the heavyweights to it. You know what I mean? Didn't want to crap no one's star. So we were all right. But it was good though. Really good trip though. Really, really good time. Really good time. I came back with more money than I went with. So it was all right.
I remember like coming straight off the plane when I was coming back my holidays and then going like basically not even 12 hours later getting on another plane to Vegas, and I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where I was. I had an infection because I had a hernia operation, so I was on antibiotics. Went out the first night, didn't know what was happening, came back into the hotel room and I was sharing it with Paul Connor, and woke up in the middle of the night and thought I was back in America with my missus, and I got back in the bed with Cons. He wakes up going, what are you doing? And the bed was huge, so I didn't even bother getting out. And then the wee woman in the morning was shouting housekeeping, putting the card in the door. And Paul Connor dives at the bed and he's like rolling about, trying to get in the other bed.
I'm going to take it from that, gents. It was a good night had by all, yes.
Yeah, just about.
Brilliant.
That's Cons.
Trevor, just from a fan's perspective, what was that day like? What does it compare to the rest of Orient's history that you've watched over the years?
Well, that was my 20 or 26th year supporting the O's. It's up there because it's a promotion. Obviously, we gained something since, but we arrived at Oxford 11 a.m. in the morning, and the local constabulary had to knock the landlord up to get us in the pub because there were so many of us. And so we had good 3 hours in the pub before making our way to the ground. The lads were brilliant. And what Lockie said about watching the game in lockdown, I actually watched the game on a campsite in France about a year later. I had the DVD. We were brilliant that day because when you're a fan, you're just up, down, you know what it's like. And when I actually watched it back, I went, God, this is like the ultimate game for the players, of course, and us as fans. And it was winner takes all. We played magnificent that day. And it's up there. The stories that we've got, I ended up in a pub in Hackney and Dean Smith turned up, little West Brom pub. Doing Goldsmith Row, and Dean was on the karaoke at 4 a.m. in the morning. I was just getting a cab home then, you know. So, like the players, our celebrations went on for 2-3 days as well. Mm-hmm. So, you give us a good time, brilliant. The lot of you,
Andy. Brilliant. You know, I'll leave you with the last word then. Which, of all the games you've commented on or have done commentary for, where does that rank?
Well, I was thinking about it. It was close to 1,000 matches, I should think, over 30 years. And that's, without doubt, the most surreal match I think you've ever likely to deal with. And as Trevor said, and as Matt said earlier, you know, it was so one-sided. We could have been 3 or 4 up at halftime easily. But it was just the drama. You couldn't, the commentary line at the end was you couldn't have written a script for it. And I think that was sort of it in a nutshell. It really was very surreal. And I will just touch on something. When he said Eddie Hearn turned up, Eddie actually assisted me in preventing, I think Wayne Corden would have got battered at the end. We were trying to do an interview and Wayne was by the tunnel and an Oxford fan came over the the fence. I won't repeat the language, but it was trying to get to Wayne. And I just said to him, look, you know, basically got between Wayne and the fella and said, you know, calm down, you're on camera. You know, you don't be an idiot, you're going to get arrested. And we calmed the situation down. Just as we calmed it down, Wayne turned around and gave him an obscene gesture and tried to get down the tunnel, and the fella went ballistic. And then Eddie Hearn got involved as well. We managed to separate them, and Wayne went down the tunnel. But yeah, we just calmed the situation down. But in answer to your question, I don't think I'll ever, well, I'm not doing the commentaries of the club now, but I don't think I'll ever better that one. We've done other promotions. I've done three promotions, all three promotions in the last, whatever it is now, 30 odd years. But I've never ever bettered that one. It was amazing. I'm not, as the players know, an amazing performance, amazing feeling. It was just unbelievable.
Well, guys, thank you ever so much for joining us tonight. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you for recording these extras for us. As I say, you'll be welcome back in the supporters club anytime. Hopefully next season we can get you back in there. We can buy you all a drink and we can do this face to face and see you all again properly.
Thanks very much.
Brilliant. So that was the Orient Hour 2005-2006 promotion special. I'd like to thank all the players for joining us. I'd like to say hope you enjoyed it. And fingers crossed we get to see you all back at Brisbane Road sometime soon. All the best. Take care. Bye-bye.